Scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 34. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions."
In the book of Matthew, we read these words in Matthew 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Every few weeks in our morning service, we gather at the table, the communion table. We eat a small piece of bread and we drink a little cup of juice. Why do we do it? What significance is there in the bread and the juice or the wine? What is accomplished by our actions? I think that most of you could probably give me a pretty good answer to those questions. I realize that most of the people, or all of you sitting here, have a reasonable understanding. You're fairly well versed in the doctrines of Scripture, the Word of God, and you understand quite well what the Bible teaches about the sacrifice of Christ and our salvation. But I also believe that it is important to remind ourselves occasionally, and well, I would say often, of the wonderful truth of our Savior's gift to us. As we prepare for this, and I thought that on this first Sunday of a new year, it would be good to review some of these things as we approach communion. And so I have decided to do that this morning rather than going back into our study from the book of Revelation. We'll try to pick that up next week. But we need to take time every now and then to consider the truth that is given in Scripture. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, the Apostle Peter says, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." I'd like to take a few minutes this morning and focus on a little verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the passage that Mike read for us just a few minutes ago, The situation was that the people in Corinth were abusing the Lord's Supper. It had become a time of feasting and even drunkenness for them. And Paul was trying to correct some things that were going on there. And so he relayed for them again the significance of it. In verses 23, 24, 25, he talked about the blood, the bread, the body of the Lord, and the cup, the blood of the Lord. And then in verse 26, he said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." There are two very important elements in the last part of that verse. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's a matter of looking back and looking ahead. And I'd like us to consider those this morning as we review the significance of this event. And we begin by looking back. We proclaim the Lord's death. That word proclaim, in the King James Version it says show. You do show the Lord's death until he comes. But it means to announce, to declare, to make known. It's to be a public demonstration, proclamation of the things that we believe about the death of our Savior Jesus Christ. So what is it that we are proclaiming by this ceremonial event? Well, I want to mention a few things. First of all, we are proclaiming that he sacrificed his body on the cross to bear the sin of the world. The bread symbolizes for us the body of our Lord. And as I thought about this, I thought about the message we had last week, about the Word became flesh. God took on himself humanity, a body, a human body. It is only because the Son of God took upon himself a human body, flesh and bones, that he could offer himself for our sin. Now, some manuscripts add the word broken in this passage. "This is my body which is broken for you." It's not in a lot of the manuscripts. And the Bible makes it clear that the Lord's body was not broken in the sense that no bones were broken. That's a very important prophecy in the Old Testament that not a bone was broken. But at the same time, when he offered up his body on the cross, I don't think we really have an understanding of the suffering, the agony that he went through as he took our sin on himself, but also the things that happened to him. In the book of Matthew, the description of what Jesus suffered as he went to the cross is incredible. His body was bruised and torn and by the beatings, the crucifixion itself. In chapter 26, verses 67 and 68, we have some of the beatings and the mockings. We read, "Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is it that struck you?" In chapter 27, in verse 27, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him." I don't know just what that crown of thorns was made from, but in my mind, I have a vision of a thorn tree that we saw in Israel. Thorns about that long. It was, as I looked at it, I thought, wow, I wonder if that's what they took some of those and braided them together and jammed it on his head. But the suffering that he went through. Then there was, of course, the formal beating at the instruction of Pilate in chapter 27, and just before this in verse 26, he released for them Barabbas, having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. My Bible has a little footnote on that word scourged that says that it is a Roman judicial penalty consisting of a severe beating with a multi-lashed whip containing embedded pieces of bone and metal. The crown of thorns, the cross, the nails in his hands and feet, the thirst and the pain on the cross, what he endured in his body. And yet, the ultimate thing that he suffered was taking on himself the sins of the world. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. It's 1 Peter 2:24. When we eat the bread, we are proclaiming the body of Christ, that he sacrificed his body to bear the sin of the world. We are also proclaiming that he shed his blood. He shed his blood to pay for sin, to pay for the sin of the world. The cup that we drink symbolizes for us the purchase price of our salvation. We were redeemed, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And the importance of this goes back as far as the Garden of Eden. When God placed Adam in the garden, there was one thing that he made very clear, and that was that the penalty, the result of sin, was death. In Genesis 2:16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." The price to be paid for sin, for disobedience, has always been death. And that means the shedding of blood. The blood is the life. Without blood, there is no life. Leviticus 17:11, in the law, God commanded his people not to eat the blood with the meat, because he said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." And so the shedding of one's blood becomes linked to the giving of one's life. It was not enough for Christ to simply die a little, or to simply bleed a little bit on the cross. The shedding of his blood implied his death, ultimate death. He gave up his life as payment for the sin of the world. He alone could do that, because he himself had never sinned. He could die for our sins because he did not have to die for his own sin. He took the sins of the world, yours and mine, upon himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake, he," that is God, "made him," Christ, "to be sin for us, to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." When we drink the cup, we proclaim the shedding of Christ's blood for our sins. But something more than this that I see we are proclaiming is that he died for me. In order to adequately proclaim the Lord's death, we need to understand and declare the amazing truth that he did all of this for me, for you, personally. It is one thing to say that Christ died for the sins of the world, but to realize that he did it for me is overwhelming. That verse in John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." That's his universal love. He loved the world so much that he gave his Son, that whoever believes, and that's where it becomes personal, when you believe, when I believe. Yes, he died to pay for the sin of the world, but more than that, when he hung there on the cross, he was there in my place. He was taking my punishment on himself. And so as I eat the bread, as I drink the little cup of juice, I am proclaiming that I recognize that Jesus died for me in my place. And so that's a part of what we do. We're looking back and proclaiming that when Jesus died on that cross in a place outside of Jerusalem. And it's amazing to see the place that I think could well be the place. And I remember one of the most moving parts of a tour to Israel is having communion by the Garden Tomb, by Golgotha. There is a hill there, and I've showed you pictures of it, but there's a hill there that looks like a skull. And to be there and realize that Jesus died for me. But we do that every time we eat this. I trust that it comes true for you. We look back at that. But then we also look ahead. Paul said, whenever you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Until He comes. The other area that we need to consider is the anticipation of the Lord's coming again. Paul says that when we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we're declaring the death of Christ, not only as a reminder of the past, but in anticipation of the future, when He will come again. And I'm reminded of the words that Jesus spoke to His disciples as He shared that Last Supper with them. We read it in Matthew chapter 26. And He said, you are to eat this bread, drink this cup. But then He said in verse 29, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What a wonderful day that's going to be. But in that statement, we have the promise that one day, we as believers in Jesus Christ, His followers, will again be together with Him around the table. We will join the apostles, the disciples, the saints of all the ages around the table. The whole church, believers of all ages, will gather at the wedding supper of the Lamb, where we, the church, will be the bride. And there'll be no more need for ceremonial reminders like a little piece of bread and a little cup of juice, because we'll be there with Him, feasting at the table with Him. We will once again eat with Him and drink of that new wine with Him. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. And I find that the older I get, the less there is to keep me attached to this world. Even though we enjoy life, and yet the anticipation of being with Christ in person in His kingdom is an overwhelming attraction. And there's a song, it's one of my favorite gospel songs of all time, that says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And so, as we prepare ourselves to take part in communion, as we examine our hearts as we ought to, let us remember that when we do this, we are proclaiming the Lord's death. We are looking back and realizing what He did for us. We're also looking ahead, looking toward that day when we will gather with Him at the table in heaven and enjoy eternal fellowship with Him. Let us pray as we look into our own hearts. I'm going to take just a moment of silence as we look at our own lives and examine our hearts to see what might need to be dealt with there, and then we will pray. Father, we thank You for the privilege that we have to partake of the bread and the cup. They're symbols, but they remind us of so much. The sacrifice, the payment that was made, the cost of our salvation. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we will be with you in person and we will gather around the table in heaven to eat and to drink with you. Lord, we can't imagine what that will be like, but we look forward to it. Lord, we just pray that as we partake today, that we might do so with hearts that are filled with thanksgiving for what you have done for us. May it truly be a celebration of your provision for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.